Radio Prague News.
The Czech government has approved a 1.5 billion euro loan to the IMF as part of the EU's efforts to contain the debt crisis in the eurozone. The mining firm Czech Coal has accused its employees of embezzling 100 million crowns worth of coal. And Czech art collector Madame Látková has presented new acquisitions of works by the abstract painter František Kupka. The Czech government on Wednesday approved a 1.5 billion euro loan to the International Monetary Fund as part of the EU's efforts to contain the debt crisis in the eurozone. The cabinet will now approach the Czech Central Bank to release the funds and will provide guarantees for the loan, part of a 200 billion euro package to rescue the single European currency. The Czech parliament has yet to approve the deal. In December, EU leaders agreed to lend 200 billion euro to the International Monetary Fund in an attempt to ward off the bloc's debt crisis. The EU asked the Czech Republic to contribute some 3.5 billion euro to the loan, an amount deemed too high by the country's cabinet. In related news, the government on Wednesday also gave conditional approval for the Czech Republic to join the eurozone's planned fiscal compact. The ministers said the deal first needed to be finalized before it is approved in a referendum or by a constitutional majority in the Czech parliament. The issue whether or not the country should join the planned fiscal union has created tensions on the Czech political scene. The coalition Civic Democrat and Public Affairs parties have taken a reserved stance to the plan and push for it to be approved in a popular vote. Cabinet ministers for the third coalition party, Topo 9, believe an approval by parliament would suffice. The Eurosceptic Czech president Václav Klaus had earlier warned he would oppose such a move. A new poll of voting preferences suggests a 5% surge by the senior coalition Civic Democrat party. The survey by the STEM agency puts the opposition Social Democrats in front with 34% of votes. The Civic Democrats came in second with 23.5% of the votes, which is 5% more than in the previous poll, which took place in December. Support for the coalition Topo 9 party decreased slightly to 17.5%, while the third coalition party, the Public Affairs, would remain outside the lower house with 4% of votes. Support for the Communist Party dropped significantly to 12.5%, down by 4.5% from the previous survey. A 59-year-old female patient committed suicide on Friday by strangling herself in a caged bed at a psychiatric hospital in Dobřany in western Bohemia, the Daily Pravo has reported. A police spokesman said the woman tore a hole in the net and strangled herself just hours after she was placed in the caged bed. The hospital's director said the woman's condition deteriorated on Friday as she had become increasingly restless. The doctor in charge of the ward decided to place her in the netted bed. The director of the institution added the patient's state did not require continuous supervision. The Czech Republic has been criticized over the use of caged beds by a number of international human rights groups. In 2007, the government banned their use in social care institutions. However, they are still used in psychiatric hospitals, which follow regulations established by the Czech Ministry of Health. The mining firm Czech Coal has accused its employees of embezzling at least 100 million crowns worth of coal. In a statement released on Wednesday, the company said an internal audit found the staff of its sales department had for years been selling severely underpriced coal to trading firms, some of which had ties to its employees. Czech Coal will close down its entire sales department as a result and is going to file for criminal proceedings to be launched against those responsible. Czech art collector Madame Látková on Wednesday presented new acquisitions of works by the painter František Kupka. Ms. Látková said her foundation paid around $500,000 for some 40 works by the pioneer of abstract art, mostly early graphic works and several paintings. The works come from the collection of the U.S. art historian Lily Lundgren Anders, who obtained them directly from the author. The new acquisitions will be featured in Prague's Kampa Museum, established by Madame Látková in 2003. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days should be mostly overcast with snow showers in places. Daytime highs will range between minus 4 and 0 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
You
are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, Czech government leaders agree to assist the EU debt crisis scheme with a loan to the IMF. With many parts of the country struggling to deal with heavy snow, we'll look at the guys who are cheering, snow machine enthusiasts. And in today's spotlight, we'll take you to the House of the Black Madonna in Prague. And of course, we'll wind up our half-hour show with a Czech lesson as usual. So do please stay with us. Czech government leaders on Wednesday agreed on the sum that the country would contribute to the European debt crisis scheme. Coalition leaders backed Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek's proposal to loan 38 billion Czech crowns, that's about 1.5 billion euros, to the International Monetary Fund, an amount that is significantly lower than the 90 billion Czech crowns EU leaders had originally requested Prague commit to at a crisis summit in Brussels last month. Sarah Borůvka has the details.
The Czech Republic will contribute a total of 38 billion Czech crowns to a European debt crisis scheme that EU leaders drafted at a summit in December. Prime Minister Petr Nečas announced the government's decision to aid the Eurozone with a loan to the IMF on Wednesday.
I consider the political signals that we are sending with this step very important. First of all, we are sending the message that we value the economic stability of the Eurozone, with which we have close economic ties. The second signal is that, with a few exceptions, the countries that are contributing alone are economically stable, while those who are not making a contribution in most cases aren't. With this loan, we also want to make it clear that we belong in that first group.
The proposal for the Czech Republic to contribute funds to the IMF did not win easy approval from Czech government leaders, who eventually backed Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek's proposal to loan less than half of what had originally been requested by Brussels. The finance minister, who was the government's strongest advocate of a Czech contribution, said that the country had a moral obligation to participate.
We have received 176 billion crowns from EU funds. For that reason, to now say that we will not contribute anything, in my opinion, is immoral and unacceptable.
The money will come from the foreign exchange reserves of the Czech National Bank and will have to receive a guarantee from the government, which has yet to be approved by the lower house of parliament. Amidst continuing pressure to introduce further austerity measures and thus lower the state budget deficit by an additional 30 billion Czech crowns, the proposal to contribute any funds to the European debt crisis scheme was by no means a popular one. While Mr. Kalousek and the Top 09 party, of which he is a member, were strongly in favor of a Czech contribution, Prime Minister Petr Nečas was initially hesitant whether the Czech Republic should give funds to the 200 billion euro IMF loan at all. He announced last week that if the Czech Republic would contribute money, the amount would be very significantly lower than the sum originally requested. Meanwhile, Czech President Václav Klaus, a vocal Eurosceptic, made it clear he vehemently opposes any financial aid to the Eurozone. The EU's central banks are expected to channel a total of 200 billion euros through the IMF in exchange for fresh pledges of fiscal probity from European governments, with 150 billion coming from Eurozone members. The remaining 50 billion are expected to be financed by EU members outside of the common currency zone. Non-Eurozone members that have refused to contribute funds to the loan to date are Bulgaria and the United Kingdom. Also on Wednesday, the Czech government gave its conditional approval for the Czech Republic to join the Eurozone's fiscal compact, which is aimed at tightening budgetary controls. However, this step will have to be approved by either a constitutional majority or put to the vote in a referendum.
Sarah Borufka with that report. And now we go to the country's ski resorts. With snow in mountainous areas and resorts in the Czech Republic averaging 140 centimetres, it's no surprise locals have been hitting the trails on their snowmobiles in recent days and weeks. The number of skidoos on Czech trails has only continued to grow in recent years, and with increased traffic come greater concerns and greater risk. One reason why officials from the country's Road Transport Service Centre conducted checks in the area of Spindler of Mlin last week. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Snowmobiles. Life at Czech ski resorts, chalets and mountain areas would be unthinkable without them. Used by everyone from dedicated sportsmen and women to mountain rescue crews. According to estimates, some 6,000 skidoos have been registered in the country, but Czech TV reported recently the figure might actually be twice that, from older, heavier models still making the rounds on the trail to newer, more efficient machines. The last most notable accident reportedly happened 2 years ago, but increased use means operators, like anyone else behind the wheel, have to exercise greater caution. Last week, officials conducted routine checks to make sure snowmobiles in use in the area of Trutnov were in good technical condition. Dalibor Dušek, an official at the local road transport services center, explains some of the things uncovered.
Periodically, we'll find that motorists have busted light bulbs, but sometimes we uncover too much play in the steering mechanism.
Generally, owners are careful with their machines to be able to rely properly on them as a fast and effective means of getting from A to B. On heavy snow, simply nothing else will do. Jan Spindler is the owner of a Bombardier Alpine 2 Skidoo that he bought more than 2 decades ago. Back then, it cost him ½ a million crowns. So he must have been happy now it passed testing without a hitch. Afterwards, he said this.
The first to have this snow machine around here was the Mountain Rescue. This was the second model in the area and the first privately owned. It's a real workhorse. It has 2 tractor treads and leaves a path 90 centimeters wide.
Many locals and owners will confirm that snowmobiles in places like Spindler of Mlin are more than just transport, with many newer, lighter models being used largely for recreational purposes.
Jan Wellinger reporting there. A reminder for latecomers to the show that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now it's time to go places, and in this week's Spotlight, Sarah Borufka takes you for a cup of coffee at the Grand Café Oriental in Prague's House of the Black Madonna.
Nestled between busy Wenceslas Square and Prague's number one tourist destination, Old Town Square, the House of the Black Madonna houses a small museum of Cubism, as well as the only surviving Cubist cafe in the world, the Grand Café Orient, which was renovated between 2002 and 2005. Here, I recently met with architect Zdeněk Lukeš, who is also the author of an extensive monograph dedicated to the building's architect Josef Gočár. I asked Mr. Lukeš about Gočár's significance for Czech architecture.
Josef Gočár was a very important name in Czech architecture, but also design. And he was also professor of Academy of Fine Arts in Prague for many years. He was born in 1880 in Eastern Bohemia. And then he studied at the famous School of Architecture of Professor Jan Kotěra, who is known as the establisher of Czech modern architecture. And then Gočár started to work in his studio. He also very often traveled, for instance, to the Netherlands, Scandinavia, Germany, Italy, and so.
The House of the Black Madonna was built between 1911 and 1912. I asked Mr. Lukeš where the name of the house came from.
This is a name of sculpture which is on the corner of the house, which was removed from the older house, which was here in this space, before, and this house was destroyed in about 1910 and replaced with this new house. But the idea of architect Gočar was to bring Black Madonna statue from the corner of the old house to the new house. And that's why also the name stayed as before.
When Gočar was asked to design the house in mid-1911, he was only 31 years old. His success with the design of the Wenki department store in Jaromír impressed the wholesale merchant František Josef Herbst, who hired the emerging architect to build a department store in Prague's old town along the old coronation route.
He had a very good reputation after the Wenke's house design and after competition design for a new town hall of city of Prague in the shape of Babylonian tower, very high building, something like a skyscraper in the middle part of city, but it was ignored by jury. But the plan was very inspirative, especially for a younger generation of architects and group of artists around Gočar. Then he was asked by Mr. Herbst, who was owner of the lot, and who destroyed two old late Baroque houses in the same site. And he asked Gočar to prepare plans of multi-proposal building for this nice site in the middle of the old town.
Due to the location in the heart of the city, the design of this building was subject to strict harmonization rules. In a daring move, Gočar altered his first plans for the house after he came in contact with a new movement in Czech architecture, one he should become a pioneer of.
He changed unfinished project of the house of Black Madonna with some cubist details. That's why that the first project was in 1911 and the second version was from 1912 with some cubist details like the entrance, the portal of the house, the staircase and the shape of fencing of the staircase, the interiors and some other motifs of the exterior and interior of the house. And everything was finished in 1912. And the house was, from that era, very well-respected architecture. And, of course, Cubism was very curious style, and it was a very short period, only about 3 years, but maybe one of the best examples of the style.
Gokchar's initial plans had not been well received by the Historical Buildings Authority in Bohemia, but Prague's City Council eventually approved the plans on August 4th, 1911. The house was built with a reinforced concrete skeleton, which allowed for large interior spaces without ceiling support, a building style that was better suited to Cubist aesthetics. On the first floor of the building, the Grand Café Orient opened its doors. The ground and the second floor of the building originally housed the department store. On the floors above, apartments were located. In the middle of the 1920s, the store and cafe were converted into bank offices. During communism, the building then was divided into office spaces and later became the state exhibition agency. After the Velvet Revolution in 1994, a Czech art and culture center was housed inside the House of the Black Madonna. Following an extensive renovation of the building in 2002 and 2003, the Museum of Czech Cubism opened its doors here. Visitors can see Cubist visual art on the fourth and fifth floors of the House of the Black Madonna, where the museum is housed. In 2005, the Grand Café Orient was restored to its former glory with the help of old black and white photographs of the original interior. It is a sort of living museum of Cubism, since it provides a rare glimpse at one of the few Cubist interiors that exist today.
Of course, because we have only two original Cubist interiors of two churches from that era, but not by Gočar, and these interiors are not so known and not in the central part of city. That's why that this is a wonderful possibility to sit here and to be surrounded with Cubist forms.
Architecturally, the House of the Black Madonna is not strictly cubist. While for the first two floors, the facade is dominated by the expressive style, which was influenced by Pablo Picasso's cubist visual art, the building's third floor breaks with the cubist tradition as well as its roof, which resembles Baroque double roofs. These non-cubist elements were supposed to reconcile the building with its surroundings. In architecture, the heyday of Czech Cubism was rather short-lived. The movement was most active between 1910 and 1914. In architecture, the best-known proponents of Czech Cubism were Pavel Janák, Josef Chochol, and of course Josef Gočár, who incorporated the style into many of his works.
Architectural Cubism is a very bizarre style influenced by Pablo Picasso's Cubism in visual arts. It means very dynamic, expressive type of architecture, which was something like style against rationalism of Jan Kotěra's group. And Gočár was overwhelmed by this style, and he also started to design cubist forms. It means not only houses, but also furniture, for instance, as you could see here in this cafe.
As a matter of fact, the Czech contribution to Cubism was quite unique, since Bohemia's architects and designers used its pyramid and crystal forms not just for buildings, but also for three-dimensional objects such as coffee sets and furniture. Later, Gočár turned away from Cubism. He built the Legionnaires' Bank in Prague, as well as the Church of St. Wenceslas in Vršovice, one of the best examples of modern architecture in Europe. However, it is his work in Cubism that influences young Czech and international designers today. While the style is certainly unique and can be challenging for architects to put into action, Cubist decorative items continue to fascinate many artists today.
Some nice examples, especially by Pavel Janák, who was author of coffee sets. Not so practical, but very nice. And I think it was the only cubist design, of course, in Europe in that times, but very inspirative for today's generation of designers, for instance. Also, cubist architecture is very inspirative for today's designers. For instance, I saw cubist house in Berlin, in the middle part of Berlin, about 10 years ago, which was designed by inspiration of Chochol's houses here in Prague. And now we have one perfect example just here in Prague by a group of young Swiss architects in Kalin. There is a house, the office house, with cubist facade.
In Prague, the House of the Black Madonna is certainly a good starting point to see some beautiful examples of cubist design and architecture. And for those who would like to add some cubist touches to their home, the museum's gift shop sells replicas of Pavel Janák's famous cubist coffee sets and even cubist furniture.
That edition of Spotlight was prepared and presented by Sarah Borówka. And we'll wind up today's half hour from Prague with another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series, ABC of Czech, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the ABC of Czech. I'm Pavla Horáková and today I'm joined by Kamila Rosolová. In recent editions, we burdened you with a huge amount of new vocabulary, so today we can take a break and look at something more entertaining than new words. It's the bad translations into English, which are still plentiful in the Czech Republic, especially in the tourist and restaurant business. One of the common mistakes is that some people don't realize languages don't work in the same way. They think it's enough to open a dictionary, find the equivalent words, and order them in the same way as in their mother tongue. So like that, an ice cream sundae becomes an ice cream cup, literally modeled on
zmrzlinový pohár.
Don Sparling is a lecturer at the Department of English and American Studies at Masaryk University in Brno. He's been telling me about entertaining mistranslations.
Some of the funniest ones are on menus. One would have thought, particularly before 1989, very few menus were in English, translated into English. And the English was very bad. And one would have thought sort of 10 years or 12 years, 13 years after the changes that the English would have improved. But not very much. I mean, most menus in English still have comic elements in them. I think my favorite is one on a menu I once saw in Brno here where they were talking about a particular dish, and it was named after Spielberg, which is the castle in Brno, and it was referred to in English as Roast Spielberg Virgin. Unfortunately, the Czech word for tenderloin, pork tenderloin, is the same or similar to the word for virgin, and they had obviously looked in a dictionary and came up with this Roast Spielberg Virgin, which I thought was quite exceptional and would certainly attract tourists.
The word in question was
pana,
which really means a virgin. The word for pork tenderloin is
panenka,
that is the diminutive of
pana.
But the word has another two meanings apart from a young virgin and pork tenderloin. One is a doll, a children's toy, and the other is pupil, as in the eye. That is in Czech also called
zornice
or
zřítelnice.
So the translation Roast Spielberg Virgin could have easily turned out as Roast Spielberg Doll or Roast Spielberg Pupil. It's clear from this example that both Czech and English have words which have more than one meaning. And that is a topic we'll tackle in one of our future programs. And this is all from me, Pavla Horáková.
And Kamila Rosalová.
Naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková there with another Czech lesson, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Our programs are there in text and sound, and you'll also find a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz, and you can also write snail mail to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.